God writes to his people, after all of this, I will pour out my spirit on all kinds of people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy in my name. Now, Spirit of the living God, move within my heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in your sight. For you are my Lord and strength. You are my Redeemer, Lord Christ. It is in your name we pray these things. Amen. I am getting there too. Hey, did you all see the meme this week on the Facebook? I hope you did. About children in church and their noise. It is truly the sound of God in your midst. And if you don't think that's true, try a church that doesn't have any. You'll come back rather quickly to believing the sound of God in our small children. Today is the Feast of Pentecost. It's one of those absolutely major, overwhelming festivals in the church's life. There can be no mistaking it. Now, we know the general outline of it all. There was this huge rushing sound. There was a fire that literally kind of danced on the heads of those who were in the upper room, the 11 and all the others who were part of that Jesus movement at that time. When they came out of the room, they spoke, the group of them, and they say some 70 languages, most of which they had never heard nor spoken before. And due to that event, there was explosive growth in the church. And the book of Acts tells us that there were some 3,000 new people added to the church that day. It was not only a birthing, it was a grand expansion. But Pentecost is more than just the origin story of the church. It is the fulfillment of the first promise that Jesus made to his disciples. It was fulfilled then. And it continues to be filled to this very day in the men and women who are willing to open themselves fully to the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in their lives. The people who are willing to submit themselves fully to God in His Spirit. Now, Pentecost tells us what happened on that day, 50 days after Easter. But it is also imperative that we must understand that it can and will and does happen today, without a doubt. There can be no mistake about that, that the Spirit was poured out on that day, and it continues to be poured out into God's people. I remember as a young preacher boy, back in 1972 and 3, and four, as my bishop, James Armstrong, took all the young preacher boys, all the young pastors, and gathered us together and said, gentlemen, you're going to go to the Holy Spirit Conference in Des Moines at Veterans Auditorium, which seated some 3,000 people, and the place was jammed to overwhelming. And the Spirit of God, we saw move in miraculous and wondrous ways and impacted the people that were there in such wondrous ways that churches were reformed, lives were filled with the power of God that had never been touched before, and miracles happened in the most unexpected people and places. Come, Holy Spirit, come, we pray. Come. I remember being in seminary, and Dr. Joe Mihalik began every prayer that he ever offered there in school with the words, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." And I never thought much about it until I was a senior, and I had the opportunity to be with Dr. Joe. He only let 6 students, seniors, be in a class, and he only did 1 per semester. So there were only 12 out of a class that ever had the opportunity to have Dr. Joe. He was a very special person. He was on a death list for capture and execution in 1938 in Czechoslovakia. He was part of the Confessing Church movement, dedicated to the idea that there was such a thing as morality and truth in the gospel, and it could not be compromised with any of the faith that was being hammered by so many in Europe at that time. There was another fellow who was part of that same movement that you probably know better, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was executed for it. But Joe and his wife walked out of Czechoslovakia into France and crossed into Britain and finally came to originally General and then finally to Dubuque, to our seminary. And he talked to us about what it meant to say the words, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." And then he raised his hand like this to us and said, "But gentlemen, remember, it comes with a price. Because if you truly and earnestly pray it, not only will the Spirit of God come upon you and into you, but it will alter your life and it will change the world around you. And there will be no stopping what the Spirit of God can and will do if you allow it." I remember those words. I was so blessed then when I got to go to the Holy Spirit conferences and then going to Curcio in 1975. I pray for all of you who have not been there that you would soon go, because lives are transformed. So here we are on Pentecost Sunday in 2025, celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit and as our children's lesson said, the birth of the church. The coming of the Spirit of God, that most mysterious and yes, most frightening of the persons in the Trinity. Enough so that, like Dr. Mihalik said, dare we say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." Are we really ready to unleash that power in our lives and in this church? Luke tells in the book of Acts that on this day the Holy Spirit rushed around the disciples like a violent wind and it rested upon each and every one of them like tongues of fire with the same power and authority that Jesus himself was endowed with as he came up out of the waters in Jordan after being baptized by John the Baptist. And yes, church, with the same power and authority that was given to all of us individually, severally, and collectively in our baptisms. As we were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we were for the first time recipients of the power of God in the Holy Spirit. But dare we still call, "Come, Holy Spirit, come"? Are we ready? Are we really ready, church? I don't know. It's up to you to answer it. I don't know about you, though. But as a news junkie, I'll just confess something to you right now. I find it on many days, and it's getting more so, it seems like, I find it harder and harder to listen to the news of the day. Some people just say, "I just shut it off." Well, sticking your head in the sand is not the answer for a Christian. We can't stand by and just watch evil be perpetrated upon the world, seeing and doing nothing. and by our acquiescence, allowing it to spread, or even being endorsed. With each passing new event, I tell you, I feel almost overwhelmed and powerless. And yet, those are the words of our enemy, of the devil. Because the words of God to us in those situations are, I have given you my spirit. I've given you my power. Now do something about it. It's not enough just to sit by and say, oh, woe is me. And isn't it terrible? And then go on having your brunch. We are called upon to be an outspoken, prophetic people of God in this and every age since Pentecost and until Christ walks again. Now, here's a very additionally sad fact. So very often, these so-called prophetic voices that we have in the world today are nothing more than accumulate and cite statistics about this event and those events and this one and that one and everything. And it's a time for wringing your hands and saying, oh my, and maybe writing some position paper that never changes a thing. The great rabbinic scholar Abraham Herschel wrote these words. He said, the prophet always begins with the message of doom, but he always concludes with a message of hope. God knows it's not easy to confront the powers of darkness and be a harbinger of hope, but this is exactly what the prophetic voice of God has always been called to do in his people. And if we never lived in a world that was so hungry for the hope that is within us, then I don't know. I don't know when it would ever have been more so. 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus walked in a world that was full of chaos and darkness and death, a world of violence and poverty and injustice, and filled with the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. He went forth and proclaimed the gospel. And these desperate crowds that were around him became gripped with it all. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And he knew what his mission was, filled with that spirit, in the same way that you and I are called upon to know our mission as well. He preached his saving word of justice and mercy and spoke out. Spoke out, even at the cost of his life, as did 10 of these 11 last disciples. A prophetic word to bring change and reform in the brokenness of the world. Where are these prophetic voices that should be coming out of us today? Where are the voices of hope? Where are they? On this day of Pentecost, I believe St. Luke is telling us that the Holy Spirit has come to us, endowing us with a power and a passion to continue Christ's mission in this world, this prophetic truth-telling that doesn't end with just words. But as Mother Teresa said, in actions. You see, hope is not just an option in the Christian's life, no matter what you think. The Bible doesn't say that. It's not optional. It is supposed to be a defining characteristic of who we are. We are Easter people, we proclaim. We are a resurrection people. We are a people of life-giving hope. But where's the hope if all we do is sit on our hands and just say, oh my? Now, please understand me. I'm not talking about a naive or Pollyanna kind of a philosophy. I'm talking about the nitty-gritty, get down in the dirt, get your fingernails broken if necessary, ruin your manicures. Doing the work of God outside of these four walls, where the people of God are waiting for this message of hope to be lived out amongst them. This is what we are called to do. We are surrounded with pervasive poverty and so many other problems, and we do have the answer for that. It is a Christian people who are engaged in the world. The reality, my friends, you see, is that as Christians, we have all the power we need. We don't need any more seminars. We don't need any more studies. We don't need papers and millions of dollars to figure out this, that, or the other. What we need is Christians to, in fact, pick up, carry on, become engaged with the brokenness of our world in all ways. And not just sit idly by complaining, but what we say can't be fixed. We are being challenged, my friends, to move with the winds of the Holy Spirit to enliven not only our minds, but the lives of all that are around us, to touch with the tongues of fire, to ignite hearts all around us, that they too may be infused with what we have already found, even if we haven't used it lately. But in fact, put it to work. George Bernard Shaw is famously remembered for saying, "You see things as they are and you ask why. I see things as they could be and I ask why not." There we are, Church of Pentecost, people of the resurrection. There we are, seeing the world for what it is and no longer just asking why, but asking and doing. Asking and doing. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Unto God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ascribe all might, majesty, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.